Incredible.
Now, so hey everyone, Josh Wigley here with Brooklyn Zed. The Final Fantasy podcast continues into Final Fantasy VIII. Zed, my question for you is, how long was I thinking about that introduction? This is yet another binary. Is it A very long time, or B, about 5 seconds before I did it?
I think 5 seconds
before
I did
it. Yeah, it's about right. Sort of just the idea just like slipped in. And then when I did the Brooklyn Zed, that was about 2 seconds before I said, Brooklyn Zed!
And this is, it's moments like this that are why I have played 7 hours of this game that I otherwise probably would not have done.
Okay, so here we are, Final Fantasy VIII. We took the week off, we promised that we would, we needed to calibrate, we needed to start banking some episode recordings, we're in the process of doing that here, and you, dear friends, are in the process of listening to our first official recap from Final Fantasy VIII. We are going to be covering all the way through the very first mission of the game, which I guess I should clarify. It's not the Fire Cavern. Fire Cavern doesn't quite count as the first mission of the game. We're going through Dalet. We're going to go through Dalet. And then there's people who are listening to this, like, I don't get any of this yet. Because these are the people, Zed, who listen to the podcast and don't play the game alongside us. I think that that's a lot of people. So I suppose at this point, Zed, we should just reset what this is. This is you and me talking about games from the Final Fantasy series. Currently, we are embarking upon Final Fantasy VIII, a 1999 release for the PlayStation that has since been released for multiple venues, including the Nintendo Switch, which is how Brooklyn Zed is playing Final Fantasy VIII for their very first time. I've played Final Fantasy VIII myself many times. I'm not playing it right now. I really thought that I'd be able to. I'm not. I do not have the time. So a lot of this is going to be on memory recall, which, as we know, for me, can be a slippery subject, Zed. But thank God we've got you with the immediate fresh experience of all things FF8. The Junction System, the Guardian Forces, The Gun Blades, the Gardens. You got it all.
It's astounding. It's so astounding. Many. I mean, you said to me that my reaction to a lot of this would probably be, excuse me?
Yes.
And so far, a lot of my reaction is, why?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Final Fantasy VIII. It is a game filled with curious choices, from the design to to like the game design, to like some of the characters. The story can be a little bit muddled. We're here to clarify it all as best we can.
A big promise up front.
As best as we can. That is our goal here today, is to just like make everything as streamlined as humanly possible, or at least to have a really entertaining ride through a game that I don't have nostalgia. Like, yes, I have nostalgia for it, but I don't have like the love for it the way that I have for other games in the series. And this was among the reasons why, Zed, I thought that this would be a fun one for us to do. Get like your very raw first reactions, the way that we got them for FF7. But like, I don't know if you were ever feeling like you had to hold anything back so as not to break my heart with FF7, Zed. You don't have to hold anything back here. It's fine.
I'm not great at holding things back anyway. I think we'll get the whole truth, as it were.
Final Fantasy VIII. So we're gonna talk. I think that the way that I've mapped it out, I think that we've got somewhere in the realm of like potentially 8 to 10 chapters of podcasting to do, like 8 to 10 FF8 podcasts. I don't know. That's based on memory. Again, like it may bear out that like we need more or we need less. we'll see, like time will dictate that too. If like the dreaded clock catches up with us, we need to buy ourselves another week. Just bear with us, Zed. I will say, like we said, like when we did FF7, we're like, we'll be doing these as often as we can, and then it just became a weekly podcast.
Yeah,
and it was really exciting. This is one where I'm like, well, if this becomes a slog and this is not a weekly podcast, then like we'll address that as it comes up.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it's a lot. It's a lot.
There's so many things happening.
Zed, what is Final Fantasy VIII?
It's a great question. I've played about 7 hours of this game at this point.
It's a shame it wasn't eight.
It could be. I don't know. I haven't looked at the save file in a few days. FF8, Final Fantasy VIII. As discussed in the absurd quiz that you had me do a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You are a student in a school training to be a soldier while still being a student.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess spoilers for the next episode, but this was already mentioned. There will be a sorceress that you are fighting.
Yes.
And so the main character that you're playing at is this angsty kid named Squall, along with his angsty friends. And everybody's yelling at each other and trying to be the coolest guy out on the battlefield.
Yeah.
As you fight against these Galbadian soldiers and then play as Galbadian soldiers.
This
why?
All right, so there's a lot to get into. Much of what you've driven at, I think we will have to like push until next time, the Galbadian soldier piece of it all. But yeah, there is this quality within this game where you are playing a certain storyline, but maybe there's another storyline you're playing too. We'll talk about that next time. That's coming up. That's coming up. But yeah, the general gist of if FF7 was about a bunch of like, you know, resistance fighters going up against, like, rebelling against the machine, as it were, and trying to save the planet from some sort of, like, existential, environmental, global extinction event. This is sort of like Final Fantasy meets Harry Potter.
Unkind.
It is unkind. It is unkind. You're part of a school. But it's like, if it's like you're in like sort of like the dark days of it, right? Like your students at war, you have to track down this sorcerer, and like, except like, it's like as if like, not only was like the headmaster of the school, like authorized to let a couple of students like go ahead and, become soldiers, but was like given like vast, very public resources to do so. And so like, that's like sort of like the apocalyptic, not quite apocalyptic, but like dire circumstances. Like it's a very cold, unfriendly world. And not that like FF7 wasn't cold and unfriendly. Like you begin in like a really like kind of, like sad, you know, like the city slums and people aren't doing well and there's so much oppression and like the economic disparity is insane. But
nobody ever sees sunlight.
No one sees sunlight. They just look up at the giant city like pizza that's shielding them from above. But like, it's still like kind of like pops. It's got vibrancy. It's got color. It's like neon. It's electric. And then like this game, I don't know. Do you feel like it's cold? That's always been a word that I've associated with FF8. This game feels chilly.
Yeah, when you're in the garden, the school, which is called a garden, I still don't know why. It is all very like gray and like generic, almost like, I don't know, the garden that you start in reminds me a bit of Mount Sinai Hospital, like the hospital center in Union Square, if you've been to that one.
Yeah.
Where there's like a central atrium and then these like very utilitarian areas off to the sides. And even when you're out running around in the world, all the tones feel very muted. Like it's cloudy all the time.
Yeah. Which is weird because cloud is in the other one. Yeah. But yeah, it's a little bit chilly, I feel like. I think it, from like the characters to the world itself to some of the design choices. But I know that there are people who like utterly love this game. And I'll even say that there have been times, like I probably played FF8, I would guess like close to 10 times, somewhere in the vicinity of 10 times. Because I just, like, get into these modes where, like, I'm depressed and I just want to play Final Fantasy games. And so I just, like, binge them for a while. Because even, like, the bad ones are sort of comfort food for me. And I always kind of get curious, like, am I going to like it more? And so I've done that with FF8. And, like, it, like, hits differently most times that I play it. This is not, like, going to be, like, a fair opportunity to grade it for me. Other than to say I did start to try and play it. And then I remember, like, oh, well, if I'm really going to be able to do okay, I'm going to have to, like, do the junction stuff. Like, I'm going to have to, like, draw magic out of enemies. I'm going to have to equip the magic to my stats. Like, I'm really going to have to do some grinding. I'm going to have to do, like, the train thing that we're going to talk about in next week's podcast. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that I don't really want to do. there's there's a degree to which, Zed, that like Final Fantasy VIII and the exercise of playing it feels a lot like just like never ending chocobo breeding.
Yeah, I will say, like, my biggest complaint to this point is that I feel like you have to have a PhD in video game science. And I don't mean in like game design. I mean in like the science logic of this game. You have to have like such a high understanding of how it works. Well, at least to be playing the game the way I like to play video games, which is to like understand the mechanics and use them to my advantage to play the game that I want to play it.
Yeah.
Like when I play a first person shooter game, which surprisingly is something I enjoy extremely out of character. I like to play as like a very sneaky sniper type. And so I get really good at the skills that will enhance that and like the weapon attachments that will make that work. I don't understand enough about what I'm doing in Final Fantasy VIII to even know how I would like to do this or how to do whatever that might be.
Yeah. And so like, I wish I could be really helpful here. I can't because like, I've always sort of just like grinded it out. Like, when I play Final Fantasy VIII, and this is one of the reasons why I said, Zed, don't play my old place, my old ass PlayStation discs that I gave to you. Get it on Switch. It's worth it because like you can do some fast forwarding and stuff, and you can like put on like invincibility mode from time to time. And you may be a prouder person than me. I would take maybe out. And I would say, I would say if it were me, what I would recommend is like, put on fast forward, put on invincibility, sit there, sink like 10 minutes into some of these battles of just having all of your characters draw the magic out of the new enemies that you face, stock up like close to 100, if not outright 100 spells from each enemy that you face per character. So you're talking 300, right? So like you're talking about like sinking in like 20 minutes. That's why I like, put the speed on, put the invulnerability on, just do it. It's a time suck, but you can listen to a podcast. You can do something else. You can do this from the comfort of your bed because it's a handheld Switch. And that way, like, you can just, like, assign this magic to your stats. Like, it'll boost your health. It'll boost your strength. It'll boost all these other things. And then you don't have to think about it too much. Like, I haven't played FF8 in a way that isn't that. In years.
Okay. Okay.
Cause they had this version, before Switch. They had it on PlayStation 4. And I played it this way. This was like 3 or 4 years ago, I think, was the last time I did like a really significant playthrough. But there are people who then have like incredibly smart, elaborate, much like not necessarily easier strategies because that's a very easy strategy, but they have like more intelligent strategies that are less in the cheapskate realm. If you're invested enough to seek that stuff out, we can certainly hook you up. But like, if you're talking to me, like my top line advice is going to be like, play on the Switch, go into fast forward mode, make your characters invincible and just draw for like 20 minutes. Just draw out all the things. Never use the spells. Never use magic. Ever, ever, ever. Just keep that stuff attached. Sometimes you're going to get better magic. Ditch the old magic that, like, if you got, like, a cure, like a Curaga, get rid of your cures. Sure. You don't need them anymore. And just play it that way. Because life's too short to do it any other way, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
Sort of how I'm feeling.
I don't know if I'd call it proud. I think I'm more stubborn than you are, maybe, about, like, doing it the
a million
like,
percent.
The OG way or whatever. I don't think I need to do that to myself.
Absolving you. You, Zed, you bred a gold chocobo.
Sure did.
You killed the emerald and ruby weapons.
Oh, my God.
And got an additional gold chocobo. And for what? You know what?
Auxiliary chocobo.
You know what you got that auxiliary gold chocobo for? You got it so that you could feel totally fine about cheating your way through FF8 wherever you need to.
Yeah, I accomplished a thing that was rare and difficult, and I'm pleased with myself, I am happy to speed my way through FF8.
Can't stress it enough. Speed your way through FF8. Cheat your way through FF8. It's totally fine.
I think I'm gonna have to because I don't know what I'm doing.
Because, like, what are we gonna do? We're gonna, like, sit here and, like, talk about, like, all right, well, you need to get your elemental strength junction. You really want to get as many tornadoes attack. Like, what are we doing here?
I sent you a screenshot of something from the walkthrough, and I was like, this is a foreign language to me, and I've been playing this game for 5 hours.
What are we talking about? We're like, well, you're gonna want to make sure that you attach, like,
it's all abbreviated. Yeah. What does any of it mean? I have no idea.
Yeah, hook up arrow to your H. What are you talking about?
There's so many slots for so many things.
Your vitality junk. What are you even discussing with me right now?
I just want to summon a thing and cast a thing. That's all I want
to
do.
There's so many people who are listening to this that
have no idea what we're talking about.
And then they're like FF8 elitists who I love that you're here. I love that you're here. Who are probably like, actually, like, there's a lot of, like, very, like, interesting stuff you can do with the game, and that's fine. And I'm glad for you, and I hope that you enjoy it. And Zed, should you choose to embark on that stuff, I will be thrilled for that journey for you. If it's me, I say just cheat your way through FF8. It's not worth it.
I think that's where we're at.
Life is short. So, like, the point of all of that rambling is that, like, the gameplay in this is really intense. Like, it's just a lot to wrap your head around. And the world is already so crazy that, like, what are you going to do? let's just play it simply. So let's talk story then. Let's talk story. And then let's also talk about, like, gameplay hiccups that come up along the way, because that's very fun to do. So FF8, like, It does. So it takes place in this world where, like, you're basically, like, you're a college student or, like, a boarding school student, and the boarding school or the college, whatever, they're called gardens, and they're, like, these big, lush campuses that have sort of, like, these spinning golden, like, ethereal halos on the top, right? Like, they, like, mm-hmm. like, you're trying to, like, kind of, like, understand, like, how, like, energetically these things work. I don't know. You know, intense Yoda, I don't know, like, it's hard for me to, like, say, like, how, like, it's got, like, sort of, like, this whirling top that almost looks like a sigil, like, some sort of, like, WandaVision-type magic mark, but I don't think it's quite that. I think it's just, like, a design choice.
This game feels like the opposite of chaos magic. It's, like, whatever the most intensely logical, detailed magic possible.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but you live in this garden and you do play as this guy named Squall Leonhart. Is it Squall Leonhart or Lionheart?
It's L-E-O-N, I believe.
Yeah, it's Squall Leonhart. Yeah, it's Squall Leonhart, and he's your Cloud. You know, this is your protagonist.
How dare you?
This is your guy. Well, this is how they, like, followed up Cloud, Zed. They're like, well, Cloud was, like, pretty emo. Can we do better than that? And then Squall shows up, and Squall's like, I'm really in my feelings. So much so that, like, most of my dialogue is in parentheses to imply that I'm just thinking. You're not even hearing what I'm saying. Like, the game really does invite you into Squall's head in a way that, like, few other games in this series do. Like, you get a lot of, like, the interior monologue of Squall. And when I'm feeling pretty good about this game, I actually really like that. Like, I think as a story choice, I think it's kind of cool that, like, this is a guy, he doesn't say a lot to the people around him. He comes across as very cold to, like, everybody around him. And yet everyone is still, like, sort of, like magnetically attracted to him and, like, wanting to, like, be around Squall and be like, what's your deal, man? Like, we want to know more.
He's got great style.
Talk about the style.
So one of my very first notes about this game is that the fashion is great. It begins with, like, an opening trailer almost for the movie that you're for the movie for the
it
game
is like
that you're
that,
about
though.
To play.
Yeah. So it's like a big sprawling sort of, like, preview of, like, things from the game in this huge cinematic style with this music that I began singing at the start of this podcast. And it's, like, this really, really epic sequence that I do love. Like, it's very strange. It's got, like, it's got some weird dialogue attached to it. I'll be waiting for you. If you come here, you'll find me. I promise. I promise, Zed, that will make sense at some point, to a certain degree, at least. And like, it's showing you all the various characters that you're going to meet across the game, or at least many of the characters that you'll meet across the game. It's giving you like glimpses into, you never watched, Battlestar Galactica, did you?
I did not.
It, at the start of every episode of Battlestar Galactica, and this like used to really, really bother me, like they would do like the title sequence and then they would show you quick flashes of things that were going to happen in the episode. It's like, why are you showing me this? Spoilers! FF8 sort of does the same thing, but like the game is so sprawling that it's like kind of hard to like connect all the stuff. Yeah. So it's mostly fine. Like if there's like a present tense through line, it's that Squall in like his incredible black leather and his like furry white collar with his like, what do we call his hairstyle? This is like a, is this a flock of eagles? Is this what they, is that a, what is a flock of eagles?
I don't know.
Flock of eagles hair. There's a flock of something. No, it ain't that.
Oh.
Flock of seagulls is what it's supposed to be. Not a flock
Squall's
of eagles.
Got like sort of a shaggy, what would be kind of cool in like the early 2000s.
Like, yeah, which is basically where he's from.
Yeah, like he's just like a slightly ahead of his time. Like skater kind of haircut, I feel like, except without the like side swooped bangs that haunt my middle school memory.
he's got this like very lush, short, but vivacious brown hair, and like really cool eyes. And he wears like leather gloves and he wears this leather jacket that's way too short. It like rides up to like, it like rides up to his rib cage. He's got like a white V-neck. He's got like 400 belts.
My favorite part.
Yeah. He's got so many belts, these black gloves, these black boots. And he's just like, he's a mood.
Yeah. He's too cool for school.
Squall looks awesome.
Yeah. So we have this opening trailer preview, sneak peek of the game. And I wrote the fashions, the feathers, the questionable physics of the sword fights.
Yes.
And that was my main impression of the game giving me its impression of itself.
Yes.
But it looked very beautiful and very dramatic. And then they plop you down in like the hospital wing of the school.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're like, they're showing you in like this, this through line of the video is like Squall and this other guy, who we come to know as Cypher. They are fighting on like a mountainside as this like epic operatic music is blaring in the background. And they both have these weapons called gunblades, which I've warned you about. Could you describe them? At this point?
I mean, not really beyond it's like a pistol, but also a broadsword.
Yeah.
It's like if the hilt of your broadsword was a pistol, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
That's what you got. I think there's some, I think you see a gunblade in Advent Children, the FF7 movie.
Yeah, I think
because I remember asking if that's what I was looking at.
Yeah. They're wild. So they're exactly as advertised. It's a gun, but also a blade.
Yeah.
They're gun swords. And so like Squall has one and his gun component, it's like a revolver, but the barrel is a gigantic sword. And this guy he's fighting against, Cypher, he has like this gray trench coat and blonde hair. He reminds me of somebody who I can't quite place, an actor. Like he always reminded me of like, I don't know, like there is sort of like this, young Johnny from Cobra Kai quality to him. Like, this is like the sweep the leg type of guy.
Sure.
And so, like, he's fighting with Squall and they're sparring. They're both students at this school, and for whatever reason, a totally kosher, legal spar between the two of them in this dangerous, mountainous, thundery, like, rain slicked hillside where no one seems to be like refereeing, and so Cypher is just totally free to slash Squall across the face with his
unsupervised
gun blade.
Battle
Which, like, so, like, Squall then is just, like, bleeding terribly from the face. And he, like, takes a moment to, like, acknowledge that. And, like, without outright saying, like, what the hell? He, like, basically, like, emotes that. His face is kind of like, huh? And then he, like, uppercut swings his sword in at Cypher's face. And as he does, the operatic music builds and blares. And now here comes the flock of seagulls, Zed. There's like this explosion of feathers on the screen as Squall and this woman who we will come to know, not in this chapter. She's very important. This woman with the brown hair and the blue shirt, who we will come to know. Very important character in the game. They like fall towards each other's arms. And then the music does like this big dun-dun-dun-dun. And then it's like the title shows up and it's Final Fantasy VIII. And I think that there is something interesting to note about the Final Fantasy logos, Zed. Like in FF7, if you'll remember, like now in hindsight, that it's like Final Fantasy VII with a gigantic meteor like bursting across the logo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of telling you like a really important piece of like what the game is going to be about, like what you're up against. In Final Fantasy VIII, the logo is Squall holding this woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of like in the meteor spot.
Yeah, we have these two people embracing in a almost phoenix-like red and orange and yellow embrace behind the Final Fantasy VIII title.
So it's like, what's that all about? This seems like a very chilly game. Why are we hugging each other on the logo? What is this going to be? So stay tuned. We'll find out. But that's how it starts. And then, like, we wake up in a hospital. So the game begins, like, right after Squall has had, like, his face chopped in half. But he looks great, right? It's just, like, the solitary, slanty line across his face. If anything, now he just looks so much cooler.
Yep. And he's fine.
Yeah. He looks great. So he wakes up, and then what's going down? He wakes up, and they're like, oh, man, I'm glad that you're awake. You have, like, a few tests to do today. It's like, cool, wait, I don't get like a week off from being slashed in the face. I just have to go straight to class. It's like, yeah, basically.
Yeah, they just drop you off and are like, okay, now go navigate your way through this school and go sit at your desk in this classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some things happen first as Squall wakes up with bandages around his head. He wakes up and there is another person who like checks in on him. Like looks like almost like a one-way mirror. Mm-hmm. There's like someone on the other side of the mirror who is like, oh, look at you, sleepyhead. It's been so long. I hope you're okay. And Squall's like, what? Who are you? And then the person disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll see that person again. And then Squall wakes up and the doctor's like, all right, well, your teacher is here to escort you back to class. And your teacher what is her last name? Treep? Let me see. Everyone's got great names in this. Yeah. Quistis Trep. Treep? Trape?
Trape?
Quistis.
T-R-E-P-E, right?
Quistis Trape. Yeah.
Like crepe?
Like a crepe. Yeah. Quistis, who is, she's your teacher, she's your instructor, but she is also your classmate, sort of. Like, she like graduated early and became a teacher. Like, I'm not entirely sure how this works, but I think like she is either the exact same age as Squall, give or take like a few months. They're basically the same exact age, these two.
Yeah, she's been a teacher for like a year or something.
Yeah,
but they are clearly very close in age, although she's still his teacher, which I would like to keep in mind as we continue through the events.
There's some
of
things
the game.
Happening. Yeah. FX's Final Fantasy VIII, a teacher. Yeah. Uh-huh. There's some things going on here that we should discuss as it goes on. So Quist is like, all right, well, time to go back to my class. Here, I'll escort you. Oh, you got slashed in the face. We won't really talk about it ever. Now you just have the cool scar.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell Cypher not to do that again. End of incident.
And not for nothing. So, like, they walk to class, and Quistis is like, "Hey, so you want to talk about stuff? You want to talk about what's going on?" And like, Squall in his head is like, "It's none of your." And she goes, "Business." Like, she can, like, read his mind. She's like, really give it. And he's like, why are you making fun of me? Squall doesn't want people to make fun of him. He's very sensitive, Squall.
I wrote down this quote without context, so I don't know exactly when he says it, but at some point early in the game, Squall says, I'm more complex than you think.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Which is like his whole MO.
That's his thing. He is. He's got a lot going on.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, so you're gonna go to class, and like, she's teaching class, and safe. I always call them Safer or Cypher. I always switch between the two. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other. So Cypher is there, and he also now has a scar across his head, but he doesn't seem to care. He's just like talking like everything's fine. So he's here, and he's like, hey, let's just hurry up with class. Class is boring. And so class ends, and I guess there's like a big test to join Seed coming up. What is Seed?
So Seed is like the elite soldier military force of the school. So you are seeds in the garden. Why that's what this is, I don't know. Does Seed stand for something?
It's specifically
capitalized as S, lowercase EE, capital D.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on. Oh, yeah. I can't say. There's spoilers, apparently. It's apparently there's spoilers involved in why it's called Seed. Well, let's put explained in quotation marks.
I see.
It's a capital S, lowercase e, another lowercase mm-hmm. e, and a capital D. Seed is what they are called, which is like, it's effectively like what Soldier was to Shinra. Seed is to Balam Garden, mm-hmm. and you're a student here at Balam Garden. And so Quistis is like, all right, well, you've got this big training thing, but before you do, like, there's one other like field test that you have to pass. That since you were knocked unconscious from being, you know, hit in the face with a gun blade, you missed. So, like, now today is the day that you should do that. It's called, like, really?
Right now?
Now? Okay. And so, like, this is how the game is starting. Like, the game has started with you getting slashed in the face with a sword, and now you have to, like, go to a fire cavern.
Uh-huh.
For, like, a timed challenge.
Yeah. Why is it timed?
They love, Final Fantasy loves a timed challenge. Loves a time to challenge.
The first time, I was like, 10 minutes seems like plenty of time to do whatever this is. And then I ran out of time. But then I did it again in 10 minutes with time to spare. But I was just like, why? Picking timing just makes it stressful when I don't want it to be stressful.
Yeah.
And so you have to navigate your way out of the garden, out of this like sprawling campus, and then go find the fire cavern. So you're like out in the world map already very early in this game.
I do want to say, like, you do get to like see Balam Garden sort of like zoomed out, and then when you get to the world map music, that at this point, two things I hope are clear. Whatever else, it's not two things, it's one thing. Whatever else about this game said, the soundtrack absolutely slaps. The music to FF8 is incredibly great.
Yeah, It is beautiful.
The world map music is really, really lovely. It's like sort of haunting. Like, I think like the world map music sort of like fits the chilly vibe of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Balham Garden music is sort of earwormy. I think like the FF8 soundtrack gets earwormed in my brain more than I realize. Like, I often, like, the way my brain works in terms of music is I just like walking around, or I'm working on a thing, and like I'm singing a thing in my head, and it's usually like a video game soundtrack piece, and it is, and sometimes like then like I get lost in thought of like, what's that from? And then like more often than not, it's like, oh yeah, it's from Final Fantasy VIII. So this game has some of the best music in the series, I think. I mean, most of the games have incredible music. It's just that FF8 is absolutely no exception. The music here is great, except for one place that's like a really, 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 really super important location in the game that I think has some of the worst music and the least appropriate for the place music in the entire game. And I hate it. I hate it so much. And I think that this is going to be a very specific opinion that I have that is not widely shared, but God, I hate it. I hate it so much. We're not going to get to it for a very, very long time, but OZ, I really dislike this song and the way that it's applied to this place where it's like, oh, this seems like a really important place. Why am I listening to this goofy ass shit? Anyway.
Fire cavern. Yeah. So in order to go do the fire cavern thing, you also have to like go study your panel at your desk and like go through a bunch of tutorials to like understand how to play this game. You're like, oh, I played a Final Fantasy VII game. I know how to do this. Turns out FF7 and FF9, I think, are fairly similar in like battle mechanics. But as we discussed at length at the beginning of this podcast, that is not the case here. And you have to learn how to do all sorts of arbitrary things in order to succeed at all.
FF8 is very singular in this. There's no main Final Fantasy title that really comes close to what FF8 puts you through as far as its gameplay. And again, like, I know there are people who love it, who adore it. But I think like I would guess, like, if you were to do like the Twitter poll in Final Fantasy Twitter of like people who played FF8, I would guess that it would skew towards like, yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
No thanks. Do you want to like take a stab at explaining it? I know that we've talked about it, hopped around it, do you want to take a stab at explaining the battle system in this one?
Sure. So you're playing as this character and you have these, GF, are they cards or you just like have them? I don't really understand.
You have them. The Guardian Forces.
Yeah. I think of it as calling your girlfriend.
Yeah. Your GF. Call your GF.
Yeah.
She's worried about you.
But in order to even do that, you have to like go in, because if you go into a battle without doing anything, the only option you'll have is to attack with your weapon. So you have to go into the menu.
Literally not even items. You have nothing.
Yeah, not items, not magic, not summoning your girlfriend. Purely attack. That will be your only option. And if you switch characters and forget to change things, that will be their only option.
Yes.
So you have to then go into the ability menu, and there are 5 options and only 4 slots. And then there's 2 other things that I have never been able to do that the tutorial showed me, but that's a whole other thing.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's ridiculous.
I've got absolutely no idea.
It has something to do with your Guardian Forces learning certain skills, I think, to be able to.
Oh, yeah, that's
add
important.
Them in, you know what
that's
I'm talking
important.
About?
Yeah, you do want to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important to figure out because you teach your Guardian Forces things and you benefit from those lessons.
Yes. Yes. It's happening. They're learning things.
Okay.
So you have to give them abilities. So attack is static. That stays there. You can't get rid of that. And then your 4 other options are magic, which you'd think would be self-explanatory, but it's not.
It ain't.
Because in order to use magic, you have to first draw the magic, which means take that magic from an enemy in battle. And then in order to be able to use that magic, you have to also have the magic ability equipped, or like cast it immediately as you're drawing it are your two options. So you have draw, you have magic, and you have GF, your guardian forces, which is like summoning in a normal game. And then you have item, which is how you would use an item again, like in a normal game.
Yeah.
So you can't do all, five. You have to pick one to leave out.
Have you figured out how this works for you as a player yet? Like, do you have like a system that you like?
I have a system. Do I like it? I don't know.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody who has items in case your players get knocked out and you need to be able to revive them with a Phoenix down, at least so far. But then you want to be able to draw magic, and I was trying to also sometimes use magic. Maybe right now I want to skip that and do what we talked about. It's important for everybody to have their guardian force ability equipped, as far as I can tell. So it's a little bit of like changing up the combinations of your party. So I think like none of my party members have the same four abilities at any given time.
Everyone has to attack.
Mm-hmm.
I would say everyone has to draw.
Mm-hmm.
You want everybody to be able to draw. That's really important, because one of the things you could do with drawing, you draw magic out of your enemies, and you can either stock their magic, which means you keep it, but like instead of expending magic points, you then like if you stocked like 10 cures from an enemy, and then you cast cure on Squall, let's say, now you have 9 cures instead of 10. Mm-hmm. It's like you're using them like items, basically.
Yeah.
So you draw magic to stock it, but you could also draw magic and use it in the moment. Like you could draw like lightning out of a bad guy and then like cast it on them. Mm-hmm. Should you need to.
That's probably disadvantageous, though, right?
Because
if it's the magic that the enemy has, they're not going to be vulnerable to it, and they're probably going to be resistant to it. So it's going to do like a minimal. In my limited understanding of video game science,
yeah,
this is a thing I believe to be true.
Yes, I don't think you really want to cast magic in this game. I really don't. I think you don't want to cast much magic. I think you want to like stockpile magic as much as possible. There are going to be people who wildly disagree with me. Wildly. But I think that you want to stockpile as much as you can, and you want to like associate those with your stats. Mm-hmm. So it boosts your hit points, it boosts your strength, so that you're basically like bruising your way through the game. That's how I play this one. Mm-hmm. So like everybody needs draw, everybody needs attack, and then I think like I would go with items for sure. And then, you know, Guardian Force you put on, and that's like how you can cast a summon. Like you can cast Shiva that way, or Ifrit, yeah, who you are about to get here in the Fire Cavern, or
and those also, yeah,
my favorite. I love Quetzalcoatl. Lightning
those
Bird
also work differently from a summon in a typical game, because typically, in my experience, certainly in my direct memory of FF7, but also in how I recall from Final Fantasy IX, is usually it costs magic. Like you have HP, your hit points, and then you have MP, your magic points. And you spend your magic points to summon these very powerful creatures that do a lot of damage and then go away.
Yeah.
Or in Final Fantasy IX, maybe they stay until they die and then go away. But in this game, you summon them and your HP suddenly becomes the Guardian Force's HP while they like load up their arrival. Then they show up and they do their thing and then they go away again. And it doesn't cost anything. You just have them until the Guardian Force runs out of HP. You can keep calling it again.
Right. Right. It's very weird.
Strange.
Anyway, you go to
it's so bizarre.
Cabin.
To go from, you know, the display of Final Fantasy VII of, do you have your physical barrier? Do you have your magic barrier?
Yeah.
Do you, like, what's your HP? What's your MP? What's the max amount that you can have? Like, your ATB bar is loading up. Your limit break bar is loading up. You have so much information. And then in this game, where everything is so complicated, all they put on the screen is your character's name and how much HP they have and how close they are to being ready to do something.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, it's definitely, I think, for the way my brain works and sounds like for you, worse.
Yeah.
It's just not as fun, I find. But there's certainly people who disagree. All right, so you go to the fire cavern, and really the fire cavern's pretty straightforward. It's like, literally, before you can do this seed field exam, which we'll talk about what the field exam is in a second, because this is insanity. Quistis is like, all right, well, I'm coming with you to this fire cavern so that I can basically chaperone you through a test. And the test is like, you need to go to this fire cavern and fight Ifrit, the giant fire guardian force, and make him your GF. And so you do that. You get to choose like how much time you want on the clock. I don't know if there's like a big discernible, like if you do this in 10 minutes, you get something, over if you do this in 20 minutes, you do something. I'm sure that there is, but I don't really know.
I think it has something to do with like the stats of Ifrit when you receive it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Outside of the fire cavern is the guardian faculty members, and their uniforms like freak me out because they have these big yellow hats, but they like cover their faces, so they look like these like faceless balloon head people.
Yes.
I don't like it.
Yeah, the people, like the faculty, like there's a certain sect of faculty at the Balam Garden, yeah, that wear like these giant white robes and these humongous hats, and they don't let you see their face. They all look the same. So it's almost like there's something really weird going on with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel good about it.
Yeah. Well, we'll track that. All right. So you get Ifrit. You lost the first time, it sounds like.
Yeah. I ran out of time the first time because I was like going down all the little side roads just to see if there was stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a draw point somewhere. And then you keep going. Because that's also a thing. There are places in the game where you just see like little sparkles or shoots of magic, and you go over there and you can draw the magic out of, I don't know, the earth, the air.
Yeah. All sorts of stuff. Yeah, there's these like little swirly purple spots across the world and in certain like levels, like certain dungeons and stuff, where you can draw magic there instead of just through battle. So there's like these two different ways you can do it. That's great. It's just fantastic. So then you defeat Ifrit. He joins. He's like, not bad. Not bad at all. Yeah. You seem cool. I'll join you. And so he signs up. Big fire guy, Ifrit. And so like Quistis kind of reminds you of like what it means to like junction a GF. Like you're like, you're bonding yourself to the, like you're making like sort of like an emotional, mental, energetic bond to whoever you're junctioning with. Which, like, if you're, like, attaching yourself so, like, centrally to one of these things, it doesn't sound like it's a nothing deal. Like, you know, you're putting yourself, you're both putting yourself out there, yourself and the GF.
Yeah, that's interesting because it feels so mathematical to me and, like, not emotional at all.
But the story is telling you it's emotional.
The story is telling me that.
It's not reading that way?
No.
Okay. Well, that may be an issue.
Oh boy.
Yeah, because they think it's like, oh, well, this is like, you know, it's really a big deal. You know, you're hooked up with one of these guardian forces, and that's important. It's like, okay, I'm just kind of trying to figure out what the hell it means.
Yeah.
For me, practically, as a human.
I'm trying to just do it and survive.
Yeah. That's tough. All right, so that's what's going on there. And then you come back. And Quist is like, all right, get changed, because now that you've done that on the same day that you've woken up from getting your face sliced in half and the same day that you've gone to the fire cavern, we now want you to invade a city. We would like it if you would invade a foreign city on behalf of Seed, and this will be your final test. Zed, your final test is a siege?
Yes, and I wrote down this quote, obviously the battles are for real, like, which I think happens a little bit later than where we're talking, but someone says that in the game.
Yeah, they're like, these battles are for real. Yeah, you're for our final exam, you're sending us to war?
Yeah, these trainee soldiers, they think they're ready, and they're going to go see who's actually ready by sending them into battle unsupervised.
Are you kidding me? Really? That's what we're going to do? You're going to send us off to war? You psychopaths?
I was so confused.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, is this where, like, has Sid showed up at this point? Where he's like,
I do have it written down before, obviously, the battles are for real, that Sid is the headmaster.
Yes.
In his little, like, you know, elbow patch blazer and his tiny glasses.
His little sweater vest, yeah.
Yeah.
Little Sid. Headmaster Sid. The Dumbledore of Balham Garden.
Sending these kids out into dangerous situations. Kids, like, it'll be fine.
You know, you're so close to being part of Seed. Is that why? Because he's Sid, and so, like, he's, like, just wants to, like, get it close. Like, Sid to Seed. Brooklyn Seed.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, he's gonna send them off to war. My goodness. And this is the test. You know, if you come back, you're part of Seed. At least if you do well. If you do well.
Yeah. I think he says in this speech things like victory and defeat and loyalty and deceit. It's very much like the, like, invitation to the genius in its language of, like, these juxtapositions of, like, you know, your glorious life, but also
these
the dangerous
extreme
risks
ways,
that you're taking.
Zen.
Yeah. Extreme ways, indeed.
Yeah.
Moby starts playing in the background when you get to Dalit.
Yeah. So, like, so they want you to invade this city called Dalit. It is currently being occupied by the Galbadian army. Galbadia being this foreign nation. They've got a garden of their own. It seems like everywhere around the world is sort of, like, built on having a garden, which is, again, the garden is just, like, synonymous with university or school. And, like, Balham and Galbadia are at war for reasons. There's probably really deep lore here that I don't fully know. This is a great opportunity for people who are listening to this who, like, know it really well. Like, let us know. We'd love to know. Explain to me the lore. If it's
Help
very
us.
Spoilery for Zed, then just hit me and put it in spoiler tags. But I would love to know. Like, why are they... like, what happened with these two? I'm sure it'll come back to mind. I have forgotten for some reason. Couldn't possibly tell you why my memory isn't up to snuff when it comes to the story of Final Fantasy VIII. It's like something's going on with my memory here. Anyway, so you're going to go on this mission. And so Squall and Cypher are going to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then here he comes. Here he is, my guy.
Here he comes, prancing crotch first.
Doing it right, baby, all through the night, shadow dancing. This is just like shadow boxing his way through. Zeldinked! Zeldinked!
The way Zeldinked. He moves is so funny to me.
Yes, Zeldinked, who just like crotch walks his way into the scene. This dude who's like, I love hot dogs, yeah.
There's always a big rush for the hot dogs.
Yeah, Balham Garden is famous for its hot dogs in the cafeteria. Yeah, there is this one point where you can choose to take a tour of Balham Garden because Squall runs into a transfer student, Selfie Tilmet, who is indeed a playable character who will play as, in fact, in this very chapter. In this very chapter, you will have played as four of the six main characters in this game. So there is that. And like you're giving Selfie the tour. And she's like, oh, cafeteria. Cool. He's like, yeah, hot dog Tuesdays. Squall's like, we love the hot dogs around here at Balham Garden. And no one likes the hot dogs more than Zell. Zell is a huge fan of these hot dogs. Loves them. But Zell is here. He's got like this huge face tattoo. Like, I feel like there are Mike Tyson influences on Zell.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yep. He's this, like, fighter guy. Like, he fights, you know, barehanded with his... Well, not barehanded. It looks like he's got, like, you know, gloves with something on the knuckles, maybe.
Yeah.
But his fists are his weapon.
Yeah. He's a martial artist.
Yeah.
Cool monk shit, as a friend might say. and, like, that's, like, his deal. Like, yeah, he just, like, fights around. So Zell is a turd. That being said, he is like a very useful character. I think like Zell is like whenever possible is somebody that I try to play as because he's He's very powerful, and like there are limit breaks in this game. I don't know how much you encountered the limit breaks.
A little bit. Yeah. You click it, and then you always have to do something else, and I'm never quite sure. And it's different for each character, and I'm like never totally sure about what.
It's not point and clicky type stuff. Like you, you do have to do things, and like with Zell, his stuff is actually kind of similar, but more complicated to one of my favorite characters from Final Fantasy VI, who's also like a martial artist. Where in that, like, it's called Blitz, and in this, it's just his limit break, where he like you have to like input different button commands, and he does different things. And you can't, you can like get it to a place that said, here's an early tip. Let's see if it translates to anything for you. Like when you get Zell's limit break, you have like 5 seconds to input as many commands as possible. One of the commands is like, is right directional, left directional, and X or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then another one is BA or something like that. I think it, like, it depends on which game you're playing, but like there are two that are that simple, that are just like really like sort of like in terms of like the dexterity of your hands and your ability to input buttons, you can do relatively quickly. And so like if you can train yourself to do that stuff really fast, you can have Zell just like unleash for a lot longer than 5 seconds. Because like you could probably input a command in like a quarter of a second. So like you could just like be, or like a little bit more than that. Like it, you could really go for a while. So Zell's useful. Zell is useful, but he is, as he will come to be known by Cypher, who for whatever reason, like Squall and Cypher, after like permanently scarring each other, seem to be pretty cool. Like they're like fine with each other.
Yeah. They're going on this mission together. You're all like in this car driving like 10 feet.
Yeah.
From the garden to the train station, or to the vessel.
Yeah.
That's going to take you to Dalit.
It's really not environmentally friendly. You could have just biked.
I laughed when I like watched the car like do its little drive. I was like, we didn't go anywhere.
Nowhere.
Like you can still see where you came from.
Yes. Yes. And yet, but so Cypher is fine with Squall. Like he gives Squall some crap, but Squall is mostly fine for it. Zell, meanwhile, Cypher gets a really good hate into Zell, and Zell is like very sensitive himself in the way that Squall is, except that he lets you know that he's sensitive. He's like, come on, man. Why are you being so mean to me? Cypher's like, because you're
sensitive, boys.
Because you're a chicken wuss.
Chicken wuss.
You're a chicken wuss is what he tells him. Yeah. Calls him chicken wuss.
That will come up a number of times.
And this is like very like Back to the Future. Who are you calling a chicken? Nobody wuss. Calls me chicken wuss. But yeah, so like he keeps calling Zell a chicken wuss. I don't know if that's like some strange like localization issue. Like the translation just doesn't hit.
Yeah, that's not an insult I've heard before.
Yeah, well, you know,
I'm going to hear it a lot.
We probably are. So Zell is a chicken wuss. And so Zell and Cypher and Squall are on this mission. Like Cid's second in command is this lady named Zoo. She like is like, all right, well, you guys just got to go to the central town square. Mm-hmm. Go to the central square. And you go and you take care of that, and then like we'll take care of the rest. So it's like it's an important mission, right? Like you're going to secure the central square of the city, and you got to stay there. Is you know, it's tempting to say like, all right, well that sounds straightforward enough. There's still children being sent to war.
Yep,
across the sea and sent to battle. To the point that like once it starts to go down, Zed, it's like a D-Day scene. You're on like these boats, and like the FMV starts. It's like one of the most famous, I think this may be the, other than the introduction, most famous Final Fantasy VIII cutscene is, the invasion of Dalit. Like the music gets really intense. Like you're suddenly at war. You're like boats cutting across the ocean and like rolling up on the beach, and it's like D-Day, and you're a student.
Yeah. Yep. And your leader is also a student.
Also a
because
student.
Because somebody put Cypher in charge.
Yeah, Cypher's the one who's in charge. And again, like, Cypher is, like, sweep the leg type dude. Like, this is, an irascible human being. You also come to find out, right, that, like, he has taken this test and failed 1,000 times or something. Like, he never passes.
Yeah. Well, because he can't follow the instructions that he's given.
Yeah.
So then he leads his comrades into trouble because he's told to just stay in the square and secure the square. And once that's done, just stay. And then above all else, the retreat order takes priority. If you get told to retreat, you retreat. End of story.
That's
and,
it.
That's not his deal.
No, it isn't. It's really not.
And in the town square, there's this dog that he's mean to for no reason.
Yeah, you hit the ground, you hit the beach. One thing, yeah, that's different about Final Fantasy VIII than most of the other Final Fantasies, if not all of the other Final Fantasies up to this point, is usually you have, like, one character who's your avatar on the screen that's running around. And in this, you run around as all three of your party members. So
which
they're all,
is, like,
in a line together.
Chaotic and hard to...
It's a lot.
To navigate. Especially because I'm so used to, like, watching a little blonde boy. So I'm trying to, like, orient myself based on a little blonde boy. And the person you're controlling has brown hair. So I'm trying to watch basically where Zell is going, but it's actually Squall that I'm directing and running into things.
Correct. Yes. And this is also why you get to see how Zell runs. Just like pumping his arms, right? He's just like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
I haven't picked up this game in at least a week, but I can still picture that so clearly, and it's so funny.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. So that's what's going on. You go to, like, the central square. You fight your way through. You're killing people. It should be noted that you are at war. You're killing rival soldiers. You're a student.
Yeah.
You're 18
not,
at best.
Not monsters. You are fighting other soldiers. Not unlike you fought Shinra. Pretty easy dudes to take out. But there's a lot of them. And it's a lot of, like, rote, quick battles where, like, you move a little bit and then somebody else shows up. And then you move a little bit, and they're like, hey, you!
Yeah. You're in this 17. 17 years old. 17 years old.
Okay.
Let me just
So you're a senior
myself.
In high school.
Yeah, you're a senior in high school, at war, killing people in this video game called Final Fantasy VIII. Final Fantasy VIII. Did I say
in
it right?
A town
Final
square,
Fantasy
VIII. Yeah. In a town square that, like, looks like you've walked into Hollywood Studios at Disney World.
Yeah. Yeah. It's intense. It's intense.
A lot happening.
You do get to this central square. It's like, oh, our mission was actually relatively easy. And so, yeah, you're there with a dog. This whole section, by the way, was playable as a demo before the game came out originally on a game called Brave Fencer Musashi, which was another Square release. That I purchased specifically to play the demo. That was, like, how hyped FF7 had gotten people
for
FF8.
Yeah, I believe that.
And I don't remember beating, or really, frankly, anything about Brave Fencer Musashi. I bet I'm missing out on a great game, but I was just really excited. And so it was, like, the whole Dalit mission was the demo with, like, the FMV and everything. So, like, this is a portion of the game that is, like, really embedded in my brain. So you go and you're there and you've, like, seized the place and it's like, all right, cool, we did it. But it's very quiet. It seems like there's maybe more going on here. And yes, Cypher, like, there's a dog who's just, like, whining and sad. And Cypher's just like, stupid dog, shut up, dog.
Yeah. Not great. I was like, I already didn't like you. And now you're being mean to a dog. I really don't like you. And you're just, like, standing around waiting for something to happen. And nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then Cypher's essentially like, okay, well, I'm bored. So let's go over that way.
Yeah.
Or, like, the dog runs off and barks at something.
Yeah, I'll never forget how the dog sounds. The dog's whimper is iconic. I believe it's something like, oh, something like that. It's sort of like the tone. And so I was like, oh, there's a radio tower. And it seems like all the Galbadian soldiers who've infiltrated Dalit, we hate those Galbadians, so we have to kill them. That they have seized a radio tower. And so we should go. And Zell's like, wait, no, but we literally have a mission. Like, we've done it. We're supposed to stay here. And fucking Squall of all people's like, I don't know, you know, Cypher's in charge. If he wants to go, I say we do it. Yeah. Which may be secretly brilliant on Squall's part.
He's like, listen, you know, hey, he's the captain of the team, you know? And if our team loses, he's the captain of the team and he'll get voted out.
You know, it may be a good call to do whatever it is that Cypher wants us to do. So they choose to run in the direction of the radio tower, and they go to the radio tower. And is this where, like, Cypher just, like, decides, like, you know, you guys are slowing me down. I'm going to do this on my own.
Yeah, and like, just, like, jumps off a cliff.
Mm-hmm. He jumps off a cliff and, like, runs. Like, he, like, Leroy Jenkins's the radio tower. Just decides to, like, rip off on his own. And then Selfie, this transfer student from Trabia Garden, who is new to Balam and is part of the seed test as well. So, like, there's, like, pockets of students on all these various missions.
We're, like, B squad and A squad and...
Yeah. So, like, Selfie's, like, her mission now is, like, to deliver a withdrawal order. Like, it's time to get out of here. Shouldn't be here. None of us should. We're kids. And then they're like, yeah, well, Cypher went into that radio tower, and also it seems like something's going on. So maybe we should, do something about that. So you'll go into the radio tower at this point, and look, some old friends. You recognize, these names?
Look, yeah, Wedge and Biggs. I was so excited.
Yeah.
And so, then?
So Biggs and Wedge. Biggs and Wedge, Deidre, this is a Star Wars reference. Biggs and Wedge are characters from Star Wars who are named characters who are different characters throughout the Final Fantasy series. In Final Fantasy VII, they were resistance fighters. And in Final Fantasy VIII, they're dirty Galbadians. We don't trust these Galbadians. We hate them.
FF8's like, I'm going to take something you love. Just ruin it.
Yeah. I do think more often than not, Biggs and Wedge are like sort of like hapless antagonists. Aww. I think if you were to power rank the Biggs and Wedges across Final Fantasies, I think the ones from Avalanche are pretty clear number ones. And then, like, I don't know. These guys, they're kind of running characters. They're sort of ridiculous, but they don't even have like their own graphic art. They're just sort of like generic Galbadian commander and Galbadian trooper art. Should be noted that, like, they do try for, like, fairly realistic character design in the game. And by realistic, I mean, like height-wise and proportions and stuff. It's not, like, super deformed like FF7 or even FF9 will be. They're, like, trying to go for something a little more, like, human, which I think is, like, I guess, like, I'm not mad at it because it's so specifically Final Fantasy VIII, but it is, like, a strange choice that I don't think, like, plays the way they want it to.
It does seem like everyone in this game is 7 feet tall, and, like, 5 feet of that is legs.
I think that that's right.
Everyone in this game has incredibly long legs.
Yes, yes. Very long legs. Everybody's just running around. So you go to, like, the top of this radio tower, and they're doing stuff at the top of this radio tower. They're, like, what are they doing? Like, jamming a signal or something?
Well, or I think they might be trying to get it working. Like, it hasn't worked in a long time.
Yeah. There's more. Final Fantasy VIII loves a radio tower. Daniel Rousseau's got nothing on Final Fantasy VIII. FF8 loves radio tower.
Well, they're doing some like nondescript things involving, like, you know, wrenches probably up here on this radio tower.
Yeah.
And then they say a monster shaped shadow is on top of the tower.
Yes. And that would be this, this monster Elverit.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of like gross winged creature.
I described it as fighting a bat duck scorpion thing.
Bat duck scorpion thing is terrifying.
It has wings. Prospect. It has like a duck bill. It has claws and also like a stinger, like a scorpion. Like it is a nightmare.
It's gross, Zed. It's gross. It is weird. It looks very strange. Now, here is a moment where I think that, like, you didn't know the game well enough yet, right? Like, you missed something here, if I'm not mistaken.
I am looking at the walkthrough right now and finding out that I most definitely did miss something.
Yes, yes. So, like, this is why, like, you always, ABD, always be drawing. Uh-huh. You always have to draw magic from your enemies, because you may not just, like, miss, like, spells that you want to stock.
That's so wild to me.
You may miss guardian forces altogether. And you may not have a chance to ever get them again.
Yeah, I evidently missed this one permanently. And the funny thing is, I had the feeling that I was, like, playing this game very haphazardly. Not intentionally. I just didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, you know, I could start over and, like, power through the first few hours of this game again pretty easily, except for the next thing that happened that makes me never want to have to do the beginning of this game ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's some stuff in the beginning that's just, like, frustrating. And so, like, this is one of those moments where, like, it's sort of like this teachable thing. Like, if you go back and you realize that you missed Siren, you're like, damn it. Okay. All right. I always have to draw. I always at least have to check. Because if it's something that, like, you haven't encountered before, the magic item will come up as, like, 3 question marks or something stupid like
right.
that. Yeah. So, like,
you always just always want to check what that is.
You always want to know what that is. And, like, if it's something you don't have, just get it. Just take it. Even if you're not going to do what I've suggested, which is just go invincible and speed things up and just be drawing nonstop. Yeah, got to take Siren. Siren is, like, a siren from, you know, mythology, and she, I think, has, like, healing powers, I think, where she confuses people. I don't really know. I never used the Guardian Forces. But the thing that you want the Guardian Forces for, Zed, is,
for, like, your stats.
It's not just for your stats, but it's also for, like, the things that they can impart you with. Like, if you like, when you're gaining ability points in this game, you're really gaining those for the Guardian Forces so that you can learn things like HP plus 50% or HP plus whatever, or, like, turn this into that. Like, there are these, like, abilities that come that you can learn via the Guardian Forces that are relatively important.
I'm dying for materia right now.
I know, man. I do. I really do. I get it. I totally do. I
said in the Discord, I was talking about my struggles with some of our patrons a while ago, and I was like, let me remind you all, I was still, like, not quite correctly pairing materia, like, after I finished this game. And I was, like, being, you know, a little glib and giving myself a hard time, but it's a lot to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, of course, this is the way of it. You beat this thing, you defeat this monster, and now, like, you've got a half hour to get back to your boat.
Because you've been, yeah, they've given the retreat command.
We're leaving in a half hour. Yeah. We'll leave your ass behind.
Yeah, be on the vessel. Yeah. They call it the vessel.
Yeah, get back to the vessel. So you're like, okay, fair enough. I'll leave. Mm-hmm. And so the three of you leave. Like, Cypher has sort of, like, taken off on his own. You don't really know what's up with him, I think. And so Selfie is with you now. And you're going, and you're leaving, and as you're leaving, the XATM-092, Galbadia's mobile attack weapon, a.k.a. Black Widow, not Natasha Romanoff.
No.
Does not stop until it kills all enemies in its path. This is a spider robot. And, or like a hard shell crab.
Yeah. No, it's like
soft,
a spider.
It's the soft shell crab of robots. This thing. And it, like, it climbs off of the radio tower and, like, hops down in front of you. Like, hey, I know you guys have about a half hour. You think, like, what, fight?
No.
You're like, oh, okay. So you fight it. You're fighting it. And you fight it. And you beat it, and you're like, okay, well, that was annoying. Now I've got, like, I don't know, like, 22 minutes to get to the beach. And so you turn around, you leave, and you're about to leave the screen. And then the spider robot's like, hey, you know what you didn't do is defeat me.
Yeah.
And I am now going to pursue you all the way back to the beach in this fashion where You will only defeat me insofar as, like, I will drop down onto my little robot belly for a bit, but I'm still
so
alive.
So you can run away.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
So, like, basically now, like, you've got a timer, and you have to escape this gigantic crab robot to get back to the beach, and it's going to relentlessly pursue you, and it could feasibly, conceivably drain all of that sweet, precious time, and you will lose the game.
Hmm.
In order to do this. Viciously annoying.
Oh my gosh. Definitely one of my least favorite boss battles I have ever played.
Yeah. It's very annoying. Supremely so.
Yeah. This took me a long time. Because at first I didn't understand running theme. That it was like repairing itself and was basically like undefeatable. And then I looked at the walkthrough and it was like, here's how you can defeat it. Except I couldn't follow those instructions either. So then it just like, it was just a matter of continuing to run. And I think I had to do it certainly at least twice, maybe three times before I finally made it back to the vessel. And then Quistis shoots at it with a like mounted machine gun on top of the boat.
Yes. Which is cool.
Yeah. That was cool. The like escape is like a pretty cool
the cutscene's dope, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. The idea of ever facing that spider again is like
Squall like jumps at the vessel and he like always like makes this like very pained face. He's got like sort of like this stink face that he always does that I love. Which is like, he like jumps off at the vessel. You can dodge the spider monster, the spider robot. Like you can make it so that you never have to encounter it in the town. When like you get to the town square, first of all, save the dog. And then there's like a cafe that as you're running, like past an overpass, like you run underneath the overpass. And then there's a cafe that if you dip inside of, the spider robot just like keeps going past you.
Yeah. The walkthrough gives some other instructions for like a way to like get under it so that it goes past you. And I tried that once and didn't succeed and was like, all right, well, I guess we're just going to keep running.
Yeah.
And like, you know, thunder damaging this thing into, you know, submission briefly and then leaving.
Yeah.
It's very tedious.
But you do survive it, right? You beat it, you finish it, you get
away from it.
You get away from it. Quistis destroys it. She just annihilates it with, like you said, the vessel mounted machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get off and you leave, and it's like, congratulations, I guess. You won. Now you're part of the army. But you were also a student forced to go to war. And so, like, that's like sort of like the first opening silo of Final Fantasy VIII. Like, that's like the first really big push of the game. I think it's like the natural stopping point for our first chapter. Said it's ridiculous. It's like a really ridiculous start to the game. I think like they throw a lot at you, but FF7 like threw more at you in like a more sort of like streamlined way. I feel like FF8, you get to this point, and at least for me, like, I still don't quite know what's going on. It's like, why did I have to do that? Why did you traumatize me? Why did you send me to war?
They don't really explain to you, you know, the motivation behind this war at all.
Correct.
And yeah, you just show up and they're like, okay, fight this guy. But at the same time, in FF7, you show up and they're like, okay, we're going to blow up this reactor. And you don't have a whole lot of context at that point in time for why that's happening either. I remember very vividly, you know, the very start of the game and Barrett being like, okay, Cloud, you do it. And me being like, I just got here. Why am I the one who's going to do this? You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And this feels a lot like that in terms of, okay, we're going to send you on this mission. Good luck. They get back to town or back to the garden. Very walkable town from the gas station to the garden.
Indeed.
And somebody says, we could have made more money if they'd stayed and caused more ruckus.
It's unbelievable.
And have a little side-eye emoji next to that quote in my notes.
Well, so we're going to go back to Balham Garden, and I think we'll put a pin in it here, because I think when we get back to Balham Garden, some things are going to start happening there that will carry us through like the next third of disc one. I think like we can talk about the first quote unquote disc of Final Fantasy VIII over the course of three podcasts. Cool. It makes a lot of sense to me. So the next time that we come back, we're going to be officially part of Seed, baby. we're going to have an official mission now that we're like kind of government employees, although like really we're like university employees. I don't know.
Yeah, the power structures and institutional structures are
confusing.
Hazy at best.
At best, you know. So we'll talk about all of that. We'll meet some new characters. We will have one very, very important character who is going to join the mix as soon as like, you know, the first or second scene. And will be somebody who we are going to play with in greater detail in this next part of FF8. But so far, gauging it through this first part, like, your overall take is just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah. It's more why than anything.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, we will try to answer the why when we return next week with the next part of our Final Fantasy VIII podcast. If you want to keep the conversation going with us, of course, you can tweet at us at Hard Rock Hope on the Twitter bots. That's how you follow them. You follow me at Round Howard. That's how I'm to be followed. And you talk to both of us at Hard Rock Hope, at Round Howard, in the Discord, should you choose to sign up. It's very early in April, folks. This is the perfect time to sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You aren't just supporting all of the many shows that you're getting for free. You're also getting access to a whole new world. You're getting access to this incredible Discord, this vibrant community. If you sign up at that level, or if you even just want to sign up for the patron-only podcast, you get a lot of stuff there, too, whether it's Post Show Recaps Theater, recapping the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. And by we, I mean Kevin Mahadeo and Melissa Woodward are doing that. And it's amazing. So lots of really fun stuff that's happening here in the Discord and in the patron community. Sign up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Next week, Zed. Oh, before that, too, I want to give a shout out to Zed. You're a superhero now.
I am?
Yeah. Aren't you the Cities of Neon?
Oh, that's true. We had our first session last week, as this podcast is dropping. And if you're listening to it today, the first Saturday in April. Yes. Yeah. Every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern time over at twitch.tv/DMPhilly, our good friend R. Philly, I am playing in a game called City of Mist, and our show is called Kings of Neon. So come check out our like neon noir detective story that we're playing over there Sundays at 6 on Twitch.
Some superhero-ish things, I am to understand. So check that out for sure. Come back next week. We've got more Final Fantasy for you. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.